I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition for a Sunday morning. For this week's visit from Thane Maynard, a conversation with author Richard Horan. The book Harvest, An Adventure into the Heart of America's Family Farms, shares the story of Horan's coast-to-coast journey to work at various farms and help bring in the harvest.
Hi, Richard. This is Thane Maynard.
Hi, Thane.
Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. I've greatly enjoyed your book, Harvest, and I'm sure I'm not the first that's compared it to the writings of Wendell Berry.
That's quite a compliment.
Well, he, of course, lives about 90 miles from here, listens to this station, and is the great poet of Kentucky. And tell us a bit about what led you to write your book, Harvest.
Well, I actually kind of explained it in the beginning. I was out of work and not feeling particularly positive about the way things were going in this country. Was sitting in a Walmart parking lot listening to NPR when I heard, I believe it was Arturo Rodriguez, the president of the United Farm Workers, issue his challenge to Americans to stop complaining about people coming from the South and taking their jobs and to put their feet where their mouths were and to sign up to become farm workers out in California. That really made me sit up and notice. And it sort of brought back some pretty good memories of my youth. I'm a second-generation American. My immigrant grandfather ran a fruits and vegetables distribution company, and my mother used to drop me off there. I used to sit around and watch all the people come in and go through the boxes, the wax boxes with fruits and vegetables. And it was really a, you know, as childhood is, it's kind of a dreamlike image, but it brought back some happy memories of good times and good things that were happening. And so so I had this idea to go around and participate in harvests specifically of my favorite foods.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put a list together, and that's what I did. Some of the crops I wasn't able to harvest, but some of them I was. And as a writer, I sort of live on my serendipity, and the people, the farmers and the farmhands with whom I worked, each was more authentic and more spectacular and wonderful than the one before. And so, you know, we have these American treasures out there in the form of farms and farmers that I wasn't really aware of until now. And so, I don't know, this is sort of a an ode to these people and these farms, and I have a very, very warm and fuzzy feeling after spending 6 months doing all of that.
Well, and as anyone listening would know, the way you're describing it is a bit in contrast to what I think most urban dwellers' image is today. You know, you hear on NPR, for instance, gosh, farms have become big, farms have become factory farms. You know, you can go the whole way across Illinois and all you see are giant combines. And yet the folks you met with were certainly not just factory farmers or factory workers. They were living on and off the land.
That's right. I originally wanted to see and experience big, medium, and small farms, and quickly found out that the big farms wouldn't have me. They were probably afraid that I would be doing some muck raking. And there really aren't too many medium farms. And so before I knew it, it seemed every farm that I visited was a family farm, a small family farm. And the majority of those were organic family farms.
Mm-hmm.
Many were CSA farms. And these are all terms that I was totally unaware of, during this process. And I think it was the second farmer who said that he likened me to the George Plimpton of farming. And I kind of like that.
That's
kind of what I consider myself to be. And this is my George Plimpton-esque view of farming, but it seems there are big and small, and there are family farms, and there's big agriculture, and never the twain shall meet. These are two completely different industries. And so I know nothing about big industrial farming, only a little bit what the smaller farmers told me, and it's not a pretty picture.
Exactly. Tell a bit of your experience, which I know you talk a bit about in the book, of, you know, people that are on small family farms in rural areas, it's almost more about the lifestyle that they have than it is about making money. I mean, very few people are going to make a lot of money farming on 100 or 200 acres.
Well, that's the most thrilling and spectacular and refreshing quality to these people. None of these people is wealthy. They don't farm for money. In fact, these folks, many of them, live in a sort of autonomous zone. And I got the feeling that if the economy collapsed, they would be the least affected of the population. They have stores of canned goods in their cellar. They have chickens and pigs and cows and all sorts of root vegetables and beans and fruits on their trees. And they live very close to the land. They are independent. And it sort of, you know, goes back to the old homestead movement. And so this is something that, again, offers a different view, a different lifestyle, and an alternative to this sort of inauthentic life that we're all leading. You know, this. I find myself staring at a glowing screen 5-6 hours a day, especially as a writer. I can't help it, but I think a lot of young people do too. They've got gadgets in their hands, and they're looking at glowing screens all the time, and it's all digitized. And this is a truly analog life. You're out interacting with pigs and cows and vegetables and sunshine and grass and trees. And I think there's just something so profoundly healthy and pure and truthful about that lifestyle.
You articulate it well in your book, as you just did there. You know, it's interesting. As you know, we mentioned Wendell Berry at the beginning. He often has been criticized as, while that all sounds well and good, you can't really support a country of 330 million people on small farms. And yet we've lost a lot as we've become affluent and as we've become urbanized. Do you sense that some of these folks probably live in the world in between? I mean, I doubt if they're just out there with, you know, no electricity and no communication, and yet they're still all day long not looking at a computer.
Well, make no mistake about it, these are not country bumpkins that don't really know much. These people seem to me were some of the smartest individuals I'd ever encountered. They can do anything and everything. They can grow crops. They can fix machinery. They can fashion just about any tool out of anything. And they're certainly aware of technology and what's going on around them. They know that in order for us to change and grow and progress, we have to think and use new technologies. But that doesn't mean that technologies and so on should move the human factor out of the way and maybe even threaten our health and safety. You know, the big issue now is these GMO crops.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these farmers are really very concerned about this, just the way Rachel Carson was concerned about, you know, the DDT back in the 1950s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And all the way to Michael Pollan, he talks about it, and the issue of GMOs and reporting those accurately so you know what's in your food. There's great resistance to doing that, as you know, on the part of manufacturers of processed foods. So we're at this funny edge where there's the whole food crowd and the folks that are looking organic, and yet the majority of the wave of industrial farming is heavy upon us. So tell us the takeaway from Harvest.
Well, I get a feeling that there's sort of this groundswell movement. I think people who live in a society where they take pride in knowing what's going on, being aware, wanting to educate themselves and the next generation, and wanting to do the best they can for the world. I know it's tough making decisions. They're starting to realize that every decision they make is becoming even more important. And so now I think people are maybe stopping to consider the ways they've gone with cars and the huge carbon footprint they have. And they're starting to wonder if there isn't something a little simpler that they can enjoy, where they can enjoy life much more, whether it's a trend to move back to the downtowns of great cities, which is a big trend happening now with the millennial crowd. But there is a movement to eat organic, to eat local, to get to know your farmers, to even to do a little farming in the cities if that's where you live. to grow your own vegetables in your own garden.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the takeaway of harvest. There is an amazing world out there. There's a lot of knowledge you can find and get help and information from your local farmers. And you can indulge in a different type of lifestyle where you're closer to the land and healthier.
Thanks very much for spending some time with us. This has been fun.
Thank you, Thane.
My guest has been Richard Horan, author of the terrific new book, Harvest. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.